Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Brandy had to go to a newsagent yesterday to purchase a second notebook to take down all your suggestions for the New South Wales team for Game 2 of the Origin Series. And then he almost slept in today. And it was a big night in sport, with Australia in a dominant position in the cricket. And with Appy Corrissau injured, who does come in at hooker for New South Wales? Brandy, you got your pen ready? What a week in sport it has been, and plenty more to come. This is certainly the station to be tuned into. Welcome to Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy through the studios of 1170 AM in Sydney, but broadcasting across the Central Coast, the Illawarra, Griffith, Canberra, wherever you're listening on the SEN app. It could be anywhere in the world. And hello to those listening belatedly via the podcast. Don't forget, if you can't tune in live, you can listen via our podcast. Just search for Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy on your favourite podcast platform and click subscribe so you never miss a thing. In fact, this morning, we want to know where you are listening to us right now and how. Are you listening on the radio or through the app? Send us in a text and let us know your name, where you're listening and how you're listening. We're very interested to hear from some of the far-flung places. What are some of the more remote places listening to Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy? We'll pick two listeners out at random at the end of the show to win either the Signet Boost Power Bank or the $50 gift card from card.gift. So where are you listening to the program? And what is the form you're listening through? Text us on 0457 736 736. That is the Edgewater Homes text line. Even if it's just to say hello, which I'm going to do right now to Greg Alexander. Hello. I was getting worried about you, Brandy.
Hello, Andrew.
Where were you? There's no time to get you a coffee or a Vispos or a bacon and egg roll, anything. You were just, where's Brandy? Is he injured?
Can you believe that I did not set the alarm last night? So I got home after Thursday night footy and I haven't set the alarm and I slept in. I got through to 5 o'clock. So woke up, I thought it was really odd that I could hear a car. I heard a car outside and I thought, that's unusual. Normally no cars, no sound. Normally it's just the dead of night, but there was a moment of panic. I grabbed the phone to see what
time it was. You didn't know it was Friday, did you, Brandy? You didn't know the day. You didn't sort of wake up thinking it's Saturday, did you? No.
I didn't know what I was thinking when I woke up. But it didn't take long for me to start panicking before I actually grabbed the phone to see what time it was. Then I realised, although slept in, not disastrous. Because here I am, Vossie.
Tenya, Mrs. Alexander, be angry that you're wearing her top there, Brandy, that you've got dressed in a hurry, that you've come in. That's a lovely little pink number that you've got on there. But, yes, it's a little tight.
Everyone that wakes up early and everyone listening now wakes up in the dark and some of the disasters that you go through before trying to get out without making noise, without waking the house up and
That's the second talkback topic for the day. Wardrobe disasters when you're dressing in the dark for early work shifts.
you know what topic. My problem is? My problem is if I get up and I put the phone somewhere, then I can't find it again. It's dark. The phone's off.
Your torch.
I can't find it. That's the problem. Okay.
All right. Text us in. You like Brandy. Have you had a bit of in the dark dressing disasters, late for work, 0457 736 736. What's your smother? What's your go-to there? Now, the cricket, a lot of you would have probably gone to bed listening to SEN and Australia, carried on with the bat. Not quite the 400-500-run partnership we were hoping for Travis Head and Steve Smith, but a very healthy and imposing 469 is where they landed. Steve Smith going on to make 121. Travis Head out for 163. Alex Carey, the other contribution, 48 out, reverse sweeping. Like he went down and Ted Tech got him in the balls.
He loves a reverse sweep, doesn't he?
Was the eventual decision Growing in line with a wicket, or did it hit the pad on the way through? I was only listening, and I just need to check that one. But anyway, it was an odd one. In reply, India 5 for 151. Australia right on top, 5 bowlers, 5 wickets, a wicket each. Fantastic stuff from the Aussies.
Yeah, how good. How good, Vossie. When I got into Fox yesterday, because I worked on the Titans-Tigers game, and I made sure immediately that the two TVs, one was cricket and one was the footy. So I watched a fair bit of the cricket. I made everyone else watch the cricket too, that was part of the Fox team last night. And fantastic work by our boys. Even though Smith and Travis Head only added, another 30 runs, 30 or 40 runs to their scores. But a good innings by Alex Carey, and fantastic that we had all wicket takers get a wicket each. Scotty Boland. So that's a great day of cricket for the Aussies.
Definitely so. Steve Smith bringing up his 31st Test century. SEN with coverage of the cricket, every single ball of the Test Championship and the Ashes. This was the milestone moment last night on SEN for Steve Smith.
Siraj Smith, one away from 100, and he'll get it from the second ball of the day. Back-to-back boundaries to start. An emphatic start to day two for Stephen Smith. Out towards the deep mid-wicket rope. Back at the ground where this remarkable ton machine first clicked into gear in 2013. It was here in South London where he struck his first Test 100. And now he's earned the right to salute for his 31st. Playing his way, doing things on his terms, and along with Travis Head, putting his side in the strongest of positions in this World Test Championship final. Stephen Smith is one of the greatest to ever do it.
Partnership ended up 285, Brandy. 285, the partnership between Smith and Head. Now, just in regards to SEN's coverage tonight, get your head around this because it's a very big night. I mean, the home of sport, with the rugby league coverage for listeners on 1170 in Sydney, Jared Croker's 300th game tonight. Raiders and Warriors from Canberra. So SEN's coverage tonight resumes at 7 o'clock, but on 1170 in Sydney, we will join the coverage at 8.05 straight after the Raiders-Warriors game. But if you got the app, everything's happening there.
In terms of the Jared Croker game. Jared Croker game. That's how we're billing it, aren't we? The Warriors just a support crew. But you're tipping the Warriors.
Is it too late to change last night's tip?
Oh, that's right.
I was on the rickshaw. The rickshaw's looking... Look, Luke Brooks hamstring, Appy Coruscant broken jaw, Tigers beaten 28-12. Bad night for Tigers. Bad night for New South Wales. Ramification. So Appy Coruscant confirmation broken jaw in the incident with Tino Fasua Malaoui. Placed on report rather belatedly. We now have a whole stream of callers already teed up saying, well, we're going Damien Cook, we're going Reece Robson, we're going Blake Brayley,
they're all in camp. Yeah, okay. They were all in camp last Origin 1. Except for Cookie. Cookie wasn't. Reece Robson came in, joined us in camp for a day. Blake Brayley was the 20th man. Came in for 3 days, trained with the side.
The incident, Brandy.
Oh, yeah, the incident.
The incident. Tino Fasua Malaoui. Put your cards on the table right now. How did you see it? Freddie and Joey on the Channel 9 coverage, apparently. I didn't see that, but they were saying probably charge, which is interesting in their position. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, I don't know, Vossie. I really don't know. I said last night I didn't see a whole lot wrong with it. Appy stood upright to make the tackle. He just lifted his arms and, they talk about raising your arms perpendicular or crossways. Horizontal, you're in trouble. Perpendicular, you got the bumper bars up. It was the arm carrying the ball. I didn't think it was raised as he came to the tackle. He had them up as he came into the tackle. There wasn't a lifting of the arm as he hit Appy. I thought the only problem might be is the fact that he was warned and fined about it last 2 weeks ago against the Dogs with Reid Marnie. And we played both incidents at half time, and I thought the Reid Marnie incident was a lot worse. It was a lot worse than what the Appy Coruscant incident was. So I'm thinking he might get a low-grade charge, maybe get another fine. or you know, it might sort of tip into a one-game suspension. But
there we go.
I don't know.
Listeners, have your say, Tino, on the incident. If you watched it live, what do you think? 0457 736 736. Open line number 1300 01 1170. Let me put this to you hypothetically. No injury. Do you bat an eyelid on the run?
No, probably not.
Do you bat an eyelid? I don't.
No,
I just think it's big man, little man. And not that Appy's a midget, but Tino's a big man. And it's just a height difference. It's just, if you come in at above waist, between waist and pec, then this is going to happen. And people joke about it, but you can't just make your arms disappear, you know, when you're running the ball. And you can't. Yeah.
You're not carrying the ball down
by your hip.
Yeah, you're allowed to put your arms out to protect yourself as you run into a defender. Yeah. That's, you know, we've established that. That is allowed. So I'm with you, Andrew. If there's no injury, we're not even, it's just a normal play.
I'm standing by that, but I agree with your original point. It's almost like the Swalehi one. See, I don't think his knee lift last week was anywhere near as bad as what he'd done previously. And if I'm him, I'm going to the judiciary defending myself, saying, well, look, these ones I did earlier this year, way worse than this.
You know, I am learning.
Be charged.
You say, look, I am making adjustments.
Yes. So Tino should say, if any charge eventuates, no, but look, this one on Red Money is way worse than this. That's a charge. This isn't. That's almost the defence you could have. Anyway, you'll be pleased to know, Brandy, you've got your notepad still there, haven't you? You've got two notepads now. So you've filled one up with notes of suggestions. What have you got there? Gamble, Hastings, Moylan, Hines. Okay. Matty John's in today's Telegraph. If Cody Walker is fit to go, he's a must for New South Wales. He's the competition's best ball player and most instinctive footballer, a left-side specialist. So Matty's locked in Cody Walker for you.
I agree with Cody. Cody's in great form. I agree with those points that were made just then.
Sorry, he's a must for New South Wales? Do you agree with that bit?
No, I agreed with the points made about Cody. Yes, he is. Okay. He is the best ball player in the game. There's no doubt about that.
Who's favourite for hooker?
I don't know. Well, there's a number of options, isn't there? I think Reece Robson's been in good form. Damien Cook, of course, has been there since 2018, and Cookie's not in bad form.
Tell you what,
my word on Cody Walker is that he won't play this weekend.
Tomorrow, against the Dragons.
Tomorrow.
Quad. I'll tell you what we'll do, Brandy. We'll let the listeners tell you who the hooker should be. Okay, we'll just we'll let them. So get on the phone, give Brandy the pecking order 1, 2, 3, or 4 if you like. This one, SOS call to Denny Bedeiros.
Oh, Beds
are us.
Betty. The Beds are us, man.
Yeah, is he looking fit?
He's fit. Yeah, he looks good.
Danny Bedeiros. Okay, that's all there. So plenty happening. Anthony Seibold, by the way, is back Shane Flanagan for the head coaching role at the Dragons, saying that he'd be a loss to Manly, but ultimately with assistant coaches, you want them to be aspirational. I'd love to see him get another opportunity, and hopefully he gets one at the Dragons. So very nicely done. Anthony Seibold supporting his assistant coach. AFL last night. Did you happen... I wasn't watching live, but I'm checking the scores, and I thought the app mustn't be working. Quarter time, Swans are zero. First scoreless opening quarter since 1997, but hold the phone, it was a bludger. St Kilda only had two scoring plays, got one goal, one behind. It was 7-0 at quarter time. Not torrential rain or anything like that.
The Buddy 350 didn't go down as it should have.
No.
Wasn't celebrated. Because it's a loss.
Couple of goals, but no, St Kilda winning as John Donohoe, our AFL man, tipped on this program yesterday, 80-66. Sad news yesterday in the world of Australian football, if you can say that, certainly in Australian football, in world football, talking about the man that led Australia to the World Cup way back in 1974 for the first time, Riley Rasich, dying at aged 87. Many, many tributes. I thought Andy Pascalidis was fantastic on social media, Ray Gatt and others paying tribute. To a man who cannot be taken out, you know, for as long as we often say, there can only be one first, and he was the first to coach Australia to a World Cup.
Yeah. Yeah. Vossi, can we just go back to the AFL?
Yes.
Buddy. I don't watch the AFL, so if we've got AFL watchers out there, has Has Buddy gone around a year too long? Are they just nursing Buddy to the back end of the season? And
well, they're managing his workload. You know, they've made no secret of the fact they have to play every week.
Mm.
Still a headline grabber, though, Brandy. You know,
he's a headline grabber here in Sydney because that's the only name we know, basically. Mm. Like, any other.
So the Giants have Toby Green, but Toby Green doesn't have the paper pull, cut through all those modern expressions of a Buddy Franklin. Buddy Franklin can still get a headline and a write up and a photo, and people know that's Buddy Franklin with a glamorous wife and all that. Toby Green would be far better player at this point of their careers, like miles better. But Toby Green doesn't have the profile in Sydney, and that's probably the difference where the Swans win the marketing battle over the Giants.
Because where does this leave the Swans? The Swans are battling at the moment, aren't they?
They're not in the eight. It's not flash. It's not flash. So Swans sitting there with 5-7. 5-7 record. That's not good. And also, just a point, before we take a break and start getting into your calls, and this is not rugby union bashing by any means, but in case you're not aware, the Waratahs are playing their quarterfinal tonight in the Super Rugby against the Blues, and we wish them well because no Australian side has ever won a playoff in New Zealand, Brandy. Never won a playoff in New Zealand. And New South Wales, they're playing at Eden Park. They haven't won since 2009 at the ground, and we know the Wallabies record.
Not even
there,
in our best days.
No Australian team's won a playoff in New Zealand. No. In Super Rugby, sides.
What chance do you give the Waratahs of winning tonight then in Auckland?
Well, they've had some close games against the Blues, but do they get the job done? But the more broad point is, rugby union, I can't think of in my lifetime a high-profile football code with such an under-the-radar start to their final series. It's like, what has the build-up been? This is the finals, folks. They're playing tonight. And I reckon I could go outside the studios this morning and survey anyone walking past down at Vispo's Coffee, just stand there for an hour having a couple of bacon and egg burgers and orange juice and avocado and Vegemite on toast and a couple of coffees. But I could basically survey everyone, and no one would know who is playing and when they are playing, and maybe most wouldn't know the finals are even starting. How can that happen? I dare say, tongue-in-cheek slightly, I don't think Joseph Swali is the answer to this dilemma of the low-profile nature now of rugby union. I'm being serious here, folks. This is not a rugby league man bashing up rugby union. I'm stating fact. Rugby union has fallen off a cliff, the Super Rugby competition, has fallen off a cliff.
Mm. Who knows? There's a World Cup. There's a World Cup coming up, isn't there, at the end of the year?
Where is the World Cup?
Is the World Cup in France?
Yes.
Okay. Now I agree with you. When Joseph Suoli'i, when he joins rugby, I think Joseph will disappear into the ether of that is rugby.
Headline, one or two games, and that's it. Bang. Yeah. Gone. Mm-hmm. So anyway, for the record, three Australian franchises are playing in the finals. Waratahs against the Blues tonight. Reds against the Chiefs tomorrow, and the Brumbies really flying the flag against the Hurricanes 7:35 tomorrow night. So Canberra's got a big double. They've got the Raiders tonight, Jared Croker 300, and the Brumbies tomorrow night. We wish the Australian franchises well.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Fossey and Brandy. Dave Riccio from the Daily Telegraph was on the line to give us the latest rugby league headlines.
And now on Breakfast with Vossi and Brandy, the back page with David Riccio.
All right, Mr. Riccio, we're just getting a little bit of, blowing a bit of smoke there. But we're good. By the way, just before you start, David, Roosterman says, Tom Petrovsky for Prime Minister. I reckon taking Dr. Lowe out to Ruti Hill RSL and put it out in the loudspeaker that the Reserve Bank Governor is in the house to have dinner with the people. I'll provide the Kevlar vests. Thank you for that. So that was an idea of Tom, that he actually could go to league matches and sit in a fold-out chair and field questions from people that we need to eat less
how they
and
should
work
spend
more.
Their money.
Yeah, eat less, work more. Anyway, David, again, we blow a little bit more
steam.
Good
morning, boys. Good morning.
The Appy. What's your view on the Appy one, the Appy Coruscant broken jaw, the incident itself, first of all?
I think it's going to be difficult for the NRL Match Review Committee to charge Tino Fasuamala'ali. I know, look, I'm torn. I'm really torn, honestly. Because I say it, because he got fined last week for his hit on Reed Marnie, which was very similar. So there's clearly an indication or a foresight by the NRL Match Review Committee to want this out of the game. Now, if they continue to just meter out fines, it's probably not stiff enough to get it out of the game. So do they come down harder today? It's a difficult one.
Do they come down harder?
Mm. Yeah, no. I don't think they will.
Mm.
I just don't think it was... Like, the arms were up, yes, but that's...
Yeah.
You know, how many players run with arms up, like, all the time?
Yep.
Or is it a case of, if you run with arms up, you take the risk of making contact with the head, and not only have you made contact with the head, you've broken his jaw.
Yeah. Mm. Yep.
You know, that's another way to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, from a Tigers point of view, guys, and I know we're focused on the New South Wales Blues, but the minimum of 6 weeks now for Coruscant. Huge blow for the West Tigers. They were just starting to find a little bit of mojo about their footy, and granted they got beat last night, but Coruscant's out now is huge. Minimum 6 weeks, surgery today. There's two breaks in that jaw. Now, clearly, all the discussion moves to the Blues. And today, guys, South Sydney hold the keys largely to the Blues. So today's the final captain's run of South Sydney's preparation ahead of tomorrow's game. Now, we know that Damien Cook, we don't even need Brandy to say it. Damien Cook is now in the box seat to pull on the Blues number 9 jersey and really needs to only get through fit against St George Illawarra tomorrow to take over that role. Cook's an 80-minute player, guys, and it just solves so many problems for the Blues as far as replacing Coruscant is concerned. The key point to South Sydney is Latrell Mitchell, calf injury, Cameron Murray groin, and Cody Walker quad. I don't think they'll train today, guys. I don't think they'll train. And Cody Walker certainly will have some type of fitness test in an attempt to play tomorrow against Saints. But all my understanding is Latrell won't run until Monday, and have a go at trying to get up and going on this calf on Monday. So that's concerning too for clearly South Sydney, but obviously the Blues. So the next 48 hours, South Sydney really hold all the keys. And if I was to measure who's slightly in front on as far as fitness levels are concerned, I'd put Cameron Murray just ahead. But today, again, I understand he'll attempt to have a gallop as well to see how he goes. So
wow, that's a big day
for
recovery.
South, big day for the Blues.
For Cameron, if Cameron's running today, that's a very quick recovery because that did look like a pretty serious groin injury. And the fact that Cameron Murray had to leave the field, normally sometimes if you get just a bit of a twinge, you can stay out there, especially with groins. It's not a hamstring. You can't. Yep. Groins you can. But for Cameron to wince in pain as he did when he overstretched in that tackle and then to go off the field, that's a quick turnaround if he's at that stage already and running. That's better than I would have thought when I saw him hobble off the field last weekend.
We'll know today.
On the text, David, reaction to your opinion on the Tino. Watch out, Billy Slater. You better get Corey Horsburgh warmed up. New South Wales media really trying hard to get Tino 2 weeks. You know, everyone's giving an opinion. Well, I'm part of what would be perceived as New South Wales media. I'm saying no charge. I'm saying no charge at all.
Yeah.
I'm saying if there's no injury, you know. So there we go.
Yeah. I'm torn on
Can anyone remember this? This is from Nick. He said, from memory, Sam Burgess missed a few weeks for doing something similar to Josh Morris. Anyone recall Sam Burgess, an elbow, forearm to Josh Morris?
No. Plenty of players have been charged in this instance when there's genuine force and unnecessary contact to a defender's head. Mm. But on this occasion, Tino didn't make that motion, that second effort to really jam his elbow or forearm into Coruscant's face. But what I'm saying is the NRL clearly had some type of issue having already fined him for a similar incident. they have an issue with it. They're fining him for it.
Yeah, but I think it's not even as bad as... And I thought there was this, last week or 2 weeks ago against Reid Marnie, it was a distinctive move of the forearm as he went into the tackle. He raised the forearm into the head of Reid Marnie, whereas that didn't happen last night.
No.
Now, what about the Queenslanders? Jai Arrow won't be there. Tom Gilbert won't be there.
No, they won't. They're two outs for the Queenslanders, and they were both strong in game one, those two forwards for the Maroons. And, Vossi, you just touched on it. All eyes should be at 6 o'clock. It is 6 o'clock, that Raiders-Warriors game tonight.
Correct.
All eyes should be on Big Red, Corey Horsburgh. All my mail suggests, if Corey plays well and has a strong 80 minutes, he is a short price favourite to come into this Queensland Maroon side.
Wow.
What a story. What a cult figure he has developed to be. And reward for, really, this was a... He did show promise early in his career, but his footy sort of to stagnate only about two seasons ago, but has really come up again as far as levels are concerned this year for the Raiders. The Maroons like his versatility, guys. Something that we didn't really expect. We just thought he was at it. Yeah, he was an old brawler, just straight through the middle, up the guts, plays tough and hard, but he has shown a little bit of versatility of late playing on the edge, and that has certainly caught the appeal of Billy Slater. So, guys, keep an eye on it. Corey Horsburgh, right in the frame for Queensland Origin selection. And then the other one's Jeremiah Nanai. Came back so strong last week for the Cowboys from injury. Suspension. So he's right in the frame as well. I expect Horsburgh and Nanai. Should anything else happen as far as Queensland candidates are concerned, as far as injury and suspension is concerned, those two boys are the front runners to fill the void of Arrow and Gilbert.
Excellent. Nanai was very good last week, I thought, against the Melbourne Storm. Now, another test for another test for the NRL today, Reid Marnie and his concussion.
Yeah. Sort of got under the radar, hasn't it, guys? This due to the fact that we've been focused on Tom Trbojevic being cleared after originally being stood down for 11 days. He can play tonight against the Dolphins, that Tom Turbo. Reid Marnie for the Bulldogs, he's attempting to seek an independent specialist, meet with an independent specialist, a neurologist, today to determine that he can play on Monday against Parramatta, against his former club. And so it's another test, I would suggest, for the NRL's concussion protocols. These protocols are in place. Every player, every club have had this opportunity ever since the rules have been in place to seek independent advice or an alternate neurologist. When a player shows no real symptoms, no concussion signs, and that is what the Bulldogs are saying as far as Reid Marnie is concerned, that he doesn't need to stand down for 11 days and in fact, should be allowed to play on Monday.
All right, Monday. Remember, King's birthday holiday, King Gutho to score the first try. Max King, anytime try scorer, get on. And, of course, gamble responsibly. David, looking forward to your pieces in the Sunday Telegraph Sunday, and thank you for your contribution in a very busy week.
Thank you, boys. Go well.
You're listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. We were lucky enough to speak to the great journalist Robert Crash Craddock about his thoughts on how the cricket is going so far with Australia on top, and also asked him if the Ashes in England is still his favourite cricket series of all time.
Our next guest is thrilled by some of what we've spoken about over the past
five or
6 minutes. Robert Crash Craddock. When we're talking Crash, we're talking one of the most respected sports writers in the country. He has many loves. Cricket is one of them. And we've got the Test Championship and Ashes just around the corner. But so many issues in sport. I mean, Crash has been around the block 6 million times. And this has been an extraordinary week in sport. Ange Postecoglou, the LIV Golf News with the PGA Tour. Everything that is happening, Robert Crash Craddock joins us. We might need an hour to do this interview. Robert, welcome to the program.
G'day, Vossie and Brandy. It's nice to talk to you, lads. Thanks for having us on.
It's good to be with you. We're having a bit of fun with all manner of things. But can we start at the cricket first of all? We said yesterday you want to make a statement to start this magnificent period of cricket. You know, Ashes around the corner. This is the Test Championship. Australia have now made statements on consecutive days, haven't they, in this test?
They have. You know, it's looking terrific, Bossy. Australia 4-6-9. I thought Warner and Labuschagne were just wonderful in the first couple of hours of the test match. They're really underrated innings. I mean, they were like Payne Huss taking that first hit up, where it's easier for everyone that follows, and totally underappreciated. And then, of course, the Glory Boys. Beautiful effort by Steve Smith and also Travis Head. And here's a stat for you. Steve Smith, in his last 9 innings in England, he's only scored beneath 80 once. Oh. I mean, you think of that.
Incredible.
My goodness me. Like, that's Bradman-esque areas, as they say. But look, it's looking good. And may I say, you talk about statements, Bossy. This generation of players needed this. You know, they were craving to make a big statement, not for today or this test, but their careers, because Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins, Lyon, been together for a decade and just need that big, that almost premiership moment, if you know what I mean, that defining golden stud for their era. And it could come over the next 2 months with a series of winning away in England and also this World Test Championship.
Hey, Crash, do you think India got it wrong? It was as green a wicket as, well, certainly the grass covering was there. Did they get it wrong by bowling first?
No, look, Australia would have done the same thing, Brandy. And you can still get wickets on this wicket if you put the ball, pitch it in the right area. I tell you what foiled them a little bit. Underneath the green grass, there was a dryness. They thought it was moisture, but it was a bit drier than they thought. And then, after about an hour and a half, the sun came out and the ball didn't swing as much. So they didn't bowl that well. The wicket was a little bit drier. Then the sun came out. And also, magnificent resistance. I swear to you, I've seen tests like that where the batting team is 5-30 after an hour and the test is gone. That was a very real possibility. I mean, I thought, as I say, Warner and Labuschagne were really important innings in that test match.
Crash, do you still, like, well, is the Ashes in England your favourite test series of all?
By a country mile. It really is. It's just that, it's just the history of the venues, the feel of these beautiful, intimate English grounds. And it's competitive too. Australia hasn't won in England since 2001. So I think they'll win this time. I really do. I think they've got the team. I think they can absorb Baz Ball and win. But it's just the commentators as well. Everything just adds up.
The
to
romance.
The sublime contest. And romance, you know, and you feel, yep. Like I find when I nod off at night around tea time, I go to a lovely place in my mind just thinking about what you've just watched, you know. It's sort of like being on a cloud.
That's true. That is very true.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah, there's something comforting and about that, isn't there? Watching a test series in England, and I will say whether it's cricket or rugby league or anything, even golf. You know, even watching the British Open, there's something about it. I agree with you, Crash. That's spot on. That's a great analogy.
I think the sporting culture in the UK full stop's better than ours. Sadly, I just think it is. I just think the whole, you know, you live for sport over there. The weather, it gets dark early in winter and you go into a pub and you find yourself watching, you know, Champions League football and all those sorts of things. But around the cricket grounds and their love of history, Crash. You know, Bradman is fated at Headingley like he is one of their own. It's incredible. There's a shrine to Bradman.
I was stunned, staggered, and so impressed. When Shane Warne died, they named the Lord's Press Box after him. Now, in the history of the game, they had 3 daily specials on Shane Warne during the test match. It broadcast from England after he passed away, and then named the press box the Shane Warne Press Box, not the Richie Beno Press Box. And I thought, would Australia have ever done that? There is no cricketer that visited Australia in the last 140 years which would prompt Australia to embrace them like that. Sure, we love Gary Sobers and the occasional overseas marauder like, you know, Freddie Flintoff or someone. Richard Hadley was the villain, wasn't he? But there was no one. And so they're so reverential and fair. And I always reckon, boys, you have not lived in life until you've got a mate who's a mad English sports fan, a soccer fan, who lives and breathes by the performance of Manchester United, who struggles to get out of bed when they lose.
So good. So good. Now, what about the week, Crash? Because while we've got you on the program, the Ange Postecoglou news, like, we're all in. We're all Spurs fans now. We've hopped on. Put it in your terms. Is there a sporting parallel of an appointment of that capacity that you can think of that matches the deeds of what Ange has achieved this week?
No, I can't think of it in Australia. It's definitely, I mean, that's rare. Tottenham Hotspur are a top six EPL club. They've got fans, you know, in Asia, Egypt, you know, around the world, there's Tottenham fans. And I thought it was the greatest piece of managerial to get a four-year contract at a club which has had three managers in the past 4 months or 5 months. That's extraordinary. It's such a vote. That was the most staggering part about it for me. I mean, of the 20 EPL clubs, I think there's been 15 new managers in the past year or so. So he did well. But, Brandy, you know what we're seeing here too? He plays attacking football. He carried it from the Brisbane Roar. He took it to the Australian team. He took it to Japan. Players enjoy it. Collingwood are leading the AFL ladder. They attack. They enjoy it. Baseball in English cricket. He's turned around the team. They attack. I mean, it's a lesson to the world that let the players enjoy the game. It would be, on the other side of things, Tottenham Hotspur expect that. They're a wealthy club. They want their team to play this brand of soccer. So it's really good. And they're going to a beautiful home ground, which is so sophisticated and modern, where you don't even have to show your ticket when you walk into the home ground. It just buzzes, and if you've got it on you, and three beautiful big screens, and oh, it's wonderful. So the ride of his life, and he's taking us all with him.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And just quickly, Crash, massive news in golf this week. I think it blindsided everyone, including the golfers.
Yeah, LIV Golf joining up with the PGA Tour. Brandy, there's not too many times when you almost fall out of bed when you hear the news. This was staggering, so unexpected. I don't particularly like either of them. But just for our listeners, why did this happen, all right? I think it happened for three reasons. And one, there was massive legal cases involved, which is just going to bleed everyone. Two, the PGA Tour realised they had so many sponsors linked to Saudi. It was just getting so awkward. And three, they knew they could never, ever outbid LIV. But Jay Monahan, for two men to broker this deal and to keep everyone else in the dark was a staggering piece of arrogance. I cannot believe it. And we haven't seen the last of this. There'll be ruptures, there'll be fights, there'll be brawls. But it's livened up the scene. As a journalist, I've got to say, boys, I love it. How it stayed secret, I will never know, Greg.
Jay Monahan can't survive, Kenny. Like, he can't. He can't.
The players just had a meeting the other day. It's a good point. The players had a meeting the other day. One player stood up and said, I think you should resign. And all the other players stood up and applauded. So that's where he's coming from at the moment. That's the PGA players. But he's been appointed the boss of the whole thing. It's unsustainable. It can't happen. It's just, you know, the most stunning story of the year, I have to say.
It's great stuff.
Crash, everyone's given Brandy ideas for Origin 2. You didn't want to throw anything into the mix, did you? Just some wild card. Some player hasn't been mentioned. He's got Brandy. He's got 97 names in contention.
Crash
for Origin 2.
Crash is a Queenslander. Be careful.
97.
Well, all right. Okay. All right. This is what I do. I'm so monitoring the Adam Reynolds to halfback situation because everything that Adam has said, all right, to boost his own case, I did actually agree with. He's a better player when he's last played. He's cool. He knows how to manage a game better. And with a new hooker coming in, which could be Damien Cook, well, there you go, his old mate. And I get that whole South connection. And, Brandy, I know you're sitting there with a raised eyebrow like Roger Moore.
No,
James
no,
Bond,
Crash, don't.
Like Kevin Walters. Eyebrows like Kevin Walters.
But I do, like, if I'm picking the team, I've got Reynolds in there, Brandy. But any response? Any little whispers for an old mate?
I said last night on Fox, Adam Reynolds has never played better. And I've said that a number of times this year. Yep. you know, Crash. It's certainly there's a discussion being had about, you know, the three halfbacks: Nicho Hynes, Adam Reynolds, Mitch Moses.
If you're fishing for the story, Crash, you're going to have to keep on fishing.
one
you ain't catching
prediction.
Nothing here today.
One thing we'll say this, and look, I don't claim to be an expert on rugby league, but in the different sports I've covered, I have never seen a player more suited to coaching after his career ends than Adam Reynolds. I just reckon, I see him at Broncos training, and you just know, like, they're hard to pick. Some guys, you know, who's going to be a coach? But this kid, he just gets it, and he's so simple. His mood never changes. He just steadies, and I think he's fantastic, I have to say it, yeah.
Yeah. Got a good sense of humour too, Adam Reynolds. Once you get to know him, he doesn't mind. There's a little bit of Alfie in Adam Reynolds too, let me tell you, once you get to know him. He doesn't mind the practical joke on teammates. Crash, again, we could talk for an hour on all things. In fact, have a whole day with you. We'd have Crash Craddock 24-hour marathon. But thank you for giving us that time that you have this morning, mate. Love having you on the program. And enjoy the cricket tonight. And thank you for painting that image of taking in the cricket from England.
No, it's going to be good. I hope everyone enjoys, you know, the SEN coverage has been terrific of the cricket, and head off into this great world of England's Ashes cricket and for the next couple of months. And what a couple of months we've got ahead of us. I think Australia win the Ashes. It'll be a year to remember. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Good stuff.